Chapter 9, Major Puff Finds a Home and a Hare. The story I'm about to tell you introduces a new soon-to-be friend of Dwayne's. But Dwayne is not in the story because Dwayne was not the first to meet her. It was Major Puff who had the honor. It happened in the spring. Upon returning to the very, very far north from his migration that was not at all a holiday, Major Puff was again in need of a home. Building it himself was not an option. A puffin who had descended from a long line of military heroes could not be expected to perform manual labor. Digging a burrow was naturally and literally beneath him, so the only remaining choice was to seize a home already dug. This required time and effort. Let me remind you that Major Puff was a puffin whose ancestors were responsible for winning half a dozen wars, not to mention 28 significant battles and countless skirmishes of varied importance. Therefore, he had standards. Cleanliness was a priority, as was ample space for marching, which he practiced regularly and often. Also on the list, and quite frankly at the top of the list, was abandonment. The burrow needed to be empty. Not to say that he wouldn't be willing to take a burrow by force if necessary, for the blood of conquerors flowed vigorously through his veins. But it seemed that in each and every case, the burrow most to his liking was one in which no one was currently living. He marched from one spot to another, inspecting a burrow here and a burrow there, but none passed muster. He visited burrows he'd lived in from past years, but they looked worn and tired now. They lacked what Major Puff deemed the proper puffin panache. As the day grew closer to an end, he began to have doubts. He scolded himself for taking the migration that was in no way a vacation, even though he didn't really have to migrate. Had he stayed the winter, he'd still have his old burrow. Had he stayed, that old burrow would have been kept clean and proper. At the very least, had he stayed, he'd still remember where he had left it, which he now couldn't. Any lesser auk might have called it quits. Major Puff was not a lesser auk. He expanded his territory. He sharpened his senses. He remained alert. At twilight's cusp, Major Puff believed he had at last found success. A burrow was situated in a beautiful meadow recently released from its snow covering. The door was simple but solidly built, an important consideration, if and when under siege. So with his chest puffed out and breath held in, he entered. To his relief, nothing happened. He was not set upon by unreasonable hordes or ambushed by sneaky types. He wasn't compelled to offer stuttering apologies for trespassing or to make a hasty, panicked retreat in the heroic fashion of his parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents. The burrow, it seemed, was empty. Even better, the burrow was very, very large. Excellent, he thought to himself. Plenty of room for marching in all directions. My skills will not be allowed to wither. One final test remained before Major Puff could give his stamp of approval. He spread a wing and allowed it to run along the floor. Inspecting his feather tips, he let out a contented sigh. "Not even a speck of dust," he said aloud. "I should hope not. I've spent the better half of a day cleaning the place." "Eek!" replied Major Puff very loudly to the voice coming from the far corner of the room. It was the proper response, mind you, quite customary to the particular warrior clan to which Major Puff belonged. But the owner of the voice, a small furry white hare with longish ears, didn't seem to care. "Perhaps I clean too much. I worry about such things. What if I've made the place completely sterile? Shouldn't a home have a bit of bacteria lying about?" Major Puff was truly bewildered. He stared at the hare, who in turn stared back, apparently waiting for an answer.
I don't know, madame," said Major Puff. "I err more toward cleanliness, I suppose."
His response seemed to satisfy the hare, who gave a series of quick, small nods among an assortment of other twitches and jerks that never ceased. It looked as if she was in a constant state of noticing danger, then assessing the danger, and then finally dismissing the now non-danger to make way for a possibly worse danger about to strike. Major Puff found it exhausting just watching her.
"Agreed. Better safe than sorry. Look before you leap. A stitch in time, a bird in the hand, a sneeze in the wind. Yes, yes?"
"If you say so," ordered Major Puff, having absolutely no idea what she was talking about. It didn't matter. Disappointment set in for Major Puff. He had no reason to continue the conversation. He took a final glance around the spacious, very clean, very secure burrow with a sad and heavy heart. It simply was not in his taste. It had nothing to do with his already being inhabited. It had nothing to do with it already being inhabited by a very talkative hare. No, not at all. Major Puff would not hesitate to claim ownership if he really wanted the almost perfect burrow. He would not be afraid because a puffin of his lineage has no fear. So there was likely some other very good reason why he was leaving. But what that reason was, he couldn't presently say. He clicked his feet together, made a 180-degree turn, and began a slow march toward the door. "Do you live near here?" the hare shouted after him. "I'm new in the area. Just arrived. Chose this spot. Thought it was at least likely to bring calamity and destruction upon myself. Thought it was least likely to bring calamity and destruction upon myself. But you never know for sure, do you?" Major Puff wanted desperately to leave the burrow with the unpardonable yet invisible flaw as soon as possible. But he detected genuine worry in the hare's voice. So heroically, he turned 180 degrees again and addressed her. "It's quite safe, madam, I assure you," Major Puff said with authority. "Although I've just returned from my most recent migration, I visited the area many times and never took issue." The hare's ears perked up. "Oh, my, you flew here? Oh, my, that was very brave. Yes, very courageous. Couldn't see myself up in the sky." For Major Puff to be told that he was brave and courageous was nothing new. He said as much to himself each and every day, but to hear those words come from someone else was an entirely exotic experience. He was caught off guard. "Oh, it's no big deal," Major Puff replied. The hare would hear none of it. "No big deal? All that wind, all that rain, not to mention the height. You've done this more than once? My goodness, I've never been in the company of someone so brave." "Really?" asked Major Puff, genuinely amazed. And then seizing the moment, he added, "Well, yes, I suppose one could see these trips as hazardous. The distance I cover is staggering. And I know if a meal awaits me at the end of a long day of flapping, or if a hurricane might descend upon me without warning, there is risk, there is danger. But one does what one must." Major Puff was delighted to find the hare listening with rapt attention. Her eyes were wide and open, and her front paws covered her mouth to muffle any cries of shock. Major Puff felt it was beyond flattering. It was as if he had walked into a surprise birthday party in his honor, or so he imagined, having never been given one. "I should take my leave," he said gallantly. The sting of losing the burrow, not so sharp now, he bowed his head. "You could stay, you know." Major Puff wasn't sure he heard correctly. "I beg your pardon?" "Just saying. Lots of room. Very clean. Maybe too clean, but still. Comforting to have a brave soul about. I'd feel protected." Major Puff's heart skipped a beat. There were rumblings in his chest area. A giggle escaped his beak, which made him blush. Having never experienced glee before, it threw Major Puff off balance. But regaining self-control, he made it clear that he wasn't a puffin who had compromised on discipline. "Let there be no mistake," Major Puff began. "If I stay, I will practice my marching every morning, and sometimes at night as well." "Well, that's a bonus for me, isn't it? I'm a hopper myself. Love to hop. Good for the circulation, so I'm told, in moderation. But marching would be a nice change of pace." Another giggle escaped Major Puff's beak. Glee was turning into joy. "I've set myself up in a room down the tunnel," the hare said, pointing. "But there are 5 other rooms to choose from down each of those tunnels." "You dug all of those yourself, madam?" The hare shrugged and smiled. "Nervous energy." Major Puff paused. It was highly unusual for a puffin of his caliber to share his residence with a stranger. Yet, aside from his military prowess, manners and charity were 2 other merits that defined his noble lineage. How could he evict this poor hare without out into the elements, especially knowing that she built the burrow herself? No, Major Puff had to rise to the occasion. He had to break from tradition. "I accept your offer, madame. If the agreed terms are honored." And they were. In fact, that very evening, after celebratory cup of tea, Major Puff took up his marching practice around the burrow while the hare looked on in quiet yet twitchy awe. Thanks for listening.